You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're here to hit our mark, and we're going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I am Ari Grooves.
I'm Edward Eddie Moeta.
Ian Field Stewart, they, them, she, her.
And we here in the building. I love how y'all would leave.
Well, yes. Yes, well, I have to. Because y'all cis people keep on forgetting about her.
You're right. We need to work on that.
It's okay. It's a call in. Listen.
It's literally ingrained in you just to, after you say your name.
I'm a black trans woman. Everything's ingrained in me. Wow. I got to do everything.
Come on.
Got to save myself, make myself, build us all up. Come on, yeah.
Listen,
y'all was ready for the word today. Come on now. Ministry.
As you can see, we have Ian here.
Hey.
I am happy to have, because last time you were on the show, I wasn't here.
You were not.
I was on vacation.
You were not. I was the light skin representation that day.
I mean, child.
Miss Drew was vacationing in one of her homes. She said she had to call to the villa. She said, "All right,
you be trying me.
I do, but that's listen. We're two light skinned Leos in the same room.
And I know it is, but it's funny because yes, I was vacationing at another home.
Living your best Caucasian life.
See, yes, I was.
Listen, I can't help but speak truth. Do you see what I do? I can't help but speak truth.
Call it how you
funny.
See it.
I mean. I'm blessed. What can I say?
Ashe. We love to see it. How was your week this week, Boom?
My week was great, but I want to talk about y'all first before we get to me.
Okay.
I want to talk about you, Eddie. What's been going on? We haven't seen you in a while. Since then, you've made your off-Broadway debut.
Real talk though, you did such a phenomenal job.
A beautiful job, Eddie.
Thank you, friend.
That show was incredible.
No, for real. Like, you did a beautiful job. Mm-hmm. Like,
you really did. You did
all
that.
Three of you on that stage, just really in your own
glorious
work.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I'm so proud of you and the other cast members, and also Stevie, who was the director, and Danye, who. So what was that experience like for you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness, it was so scary because I talked so much shit. So I was like, oh God, now I gotta really bring it. But it was so much fun. It was nerve-wracking. It felt like a masterclass. Danye and Stevie are just so like warm and just so
welcoming and inviting.
Right. I just felt like it felt like I was hanging out with Erykah Badu and them. Like, it was really great.
You were swaddled.
I was. And it was great. It was a magical experience. And now I'm just sitting in the house auditioning.
No.
What?
You're not just. Let's continue to talk about the experience.
Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was like my first time working in New York because, I'm from New York. So that was fun.
Had you ever worked in like form like that? Like play form like that?
No. Oh my God. I don't know. Not like that. Not like
so
that.
So if you're
at
not
all.
Familiar with Danye's play 1 and 2, each night the audience chooses which character will be
number one.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay.
And so each night you have to know the entire script backwards and forwards. Each night you could be somebody completely different. And that particular number that you become has 3 or 4 roles attached to it that you have to portray.
Unless
you're number one.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to like actually put down your script? Or were you always like the night before like looking through just be like, girl, do I really know this?
I
don't think it was until like maybe like 5 days after opening when I stopped reading the script every night, or like when I stopped running lines. Like, I would have to say things out loud at least like once before I made it to the theater. Like, I would have to like talk through the entire script.
Okay.
Like, at least.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
And say it out loud.
I mean,
in the different characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
I have
God.
To say it out loud at least once a day.
Yeah.
At least once a day before I get to the theater. And then I have to like maybe look at it again once or twice. Like, ooh. Preview. And then like, you know,
Danye
is such
That's
a perfectionist too. So.
It's not too much.
It's too much. It's stressful.
Oh, Danye is not letting you. Every word has a meaning.
But
every
then we would get new pages.
Was
I was always wearing arms.
Don't do that. I knew you were going to do that. Eddie, I'm sorry. We've already talked about this. We did a precursor. But then you just literally just cackled straight into like Spencer. Spencer, are we okay over there?
Because of your ears, all right?
Because he just, I don't know what happened. He just really.
Spencer with the light eyes, I'm sorry, y'all.
I know like, some of y'all listen to this at work.
Spencer, we good?
Oh, they're gonna be all
right. Okay, y'all, we just want to let y'all know we have a new engineer since Chris isn't with us. Chris is still working on the show, so he still does like sound effects and stuff. Yeah. But hey, here Chris, in the studio, we've got Spencer. And Spencer's been here for the past, well, he was here last week, so I don't know if he's going to be with us every week, but. Spencer,
today is Spencer with the light.
Why y'all?
Spencer with the hazel eyes. Yeah.
With the hazel eyes.
Spencer is from New York and he's country as hell like me. So I'm like here for it. Spencer, tell a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, tell us about yourself, Spencer.
You know, I'm born and raised in New York City.
Where in New York?
Like Inwood, like Washington.
Okay, come on, come on,
my people. Hey, dímelo.
Yeah, you know, you know, Jamaican and Trini grew up in.
Oh, you on the other side? Okay.
Household. Yeah, you know. So yeah.
You single, Spencer? You single?
Wow.
What's good with you? What's your status on that?
It was a chill Valentine's Day weekend. None crazy.
Okay. So that means I got options.
I mean, it don't sound single.
I got a.
Spence is anyway, like, you know, he's not revealing too much. He's only revealing what's necessary.
I'm a peace out.
I like that. So, I mean, y'all, you know how we tried to put Chris on people. Chris was always available. So, Spence, you know, the listeners are out there. They can contact you. You on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Where can they find you?
I mean, honestly, just check out Spenny Almost. That's what I go by on IG. Spenny, S-P-E.
Come on, Spenny with the hazel eyes.
Spenny.
Almost, yeah.
Spenny with the hazel eyes.
Spenny with the hazel eyes.
N-N-Y.
Yep.
Okay.
Almost, yep.
Oh. Spenny Almost.
Spenny Almost. Okay. Yeah. What the hell is
if that's not country as hell.
I don't know what it is.
I love it.
I fear for it. Thank you, Spencer. We appreciate you.
So go and check out. Eyes. Y'all will get trapped.
This thing is on her Instagram right now. I love it.
Okay.
What was it?
But you knew to laugh to the side.
You see it, right? I'm learning, Drew.
You are. I'm here for it. I thank you.
But what I will say, though, legitimately, like talking about 1 and 2 again, that show was like if black like performance art got the resources that it deserves, needs and wants and desires, I feel like it would be 1 and 2. Like I felt like both in form, in writing, in content, and in like performance, I thought that y'all really like put together such a brilliant, innovative show that is actually like when we talk about like for us by us, like that actually was for us by us.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about like black art that is actually pushing the envelope, like that was actually pushing the envelope.
Dang.
And so like I'm just like really, really proud of the work that y'all did. Like that show like really touched me. And so I'm like excited I get to like, you know, work with you like in this way. This is nice. Yes. You know?
Thank you. I wish I could have seen this.
I really had to let you know that. It was so, so good.
I know. That's
yeah,
my
you
Bible.
Have a show every night. But like the show was
I would love
brilliant.
To see this. This is like what I asked for.
It's such an amazing piece of theater. I'm in awe of Danye all the time.
I know.
But this
so
work
brilliant.
In particular was so masterful in a way. I had to read it more than I can actually go and see it. I only could go and see it once because it was the topic was just it was just really.
It's a lot to sit with.
Yeah, it's a lot to sit with.
And especially because you're going to be sitting afterwards too. Because I was not getting up
and
until
that's
someone
the gotcha,
made
gotcha.
Me.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I could only like really sit through it one time just because I knew the root of the experience and well I shouldn't say the root of the experience I should say the root of the play and what mm-hmm. where it stemmed from for mm-hmm. Danye.
Yeah.
It just was a lot. Just even in my own. World, just trying to figure out my own thoughts around stigma and right. around you know, HIV and what I believed and what I used to believe mm-hmm. and forgiving myself for things that I've done mm-hmm. or said. And so it was just a lot to carry. And also, I think that was part of, you know, Danye has such a way with words that I don't even think he realizes sometimes, mm-hmm. but
right. he's such a poetic.
Yes, he is. And so in seeing his work sort of Bloom sort of helped me to deal with some of my own traumas and helped me to grow in those months where I was sort of silent and creating and cultivating what we see now, what you're sort of seeing, the fruit of that labor during that time. And so it was just really inspiring him to see. I wish more people got a chance to see the work. I wish more people got a chance to experience what that was and what it can be still, because I hope to see the show mount someplace else.
Yes.
But I knew that, you know, once I sat and watched it the first time, I said, there's no way that I can go back and experience it again. I was trying to debate if I was going to go to closing, but it was just so...
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful piece, which is why I auditioned for it. This is one of the pieces that I auditioned for, and I didn't get it, clearly, but the gentleman that did... It was for them.
Leland Fowler for them. Yes. And Jameel Dobson.
Yes, please.
Jameel.
Thank
you.
Yes, they're amazing. I know. Yeah, right. Yes. Jameel is right. I love him.
And you.
And
yes.
you.
Really,
the
stars.
Debut girl.
Yes.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Also, congratulations to Ari.
Oh, Lord.
Hey.
Ari's been an urchin over at Little Shop for... What, going on six, 7 months?
6, 7 months.
Look at the blood of Jesus.
Oh, this has been a long time. Of Jesus.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
On the vocal
working,
chorus,
yes. Working. Ha.
Singing baritone.
Ooh.
Well,
there's that.
And ain't that a blessing?
Ooh. And a blessing to actually be
that's
in
a blessing.
Your calling.
Yes.
I said,
true
baritone. I'm not a
you better
soprano.
Know. Look, you better know what's for you.
I said, this is for me. I said, yes. Oh, you want me to be below sea level? I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Ursula, yeah. I got you.
Yes, I'm here for it. But now you're heading over to...
Lord, I'm heading over to Tina, y'all.
The musical.
Tina the musical, just to get my back re-broke.
Now tell us what track you in over
with
at Tina,
that
the Tina Turner musical.
That joke hits a little different with Tina.
I know. Oh,
sorry. Ouch, oh, sorry. I took it there.
Sorry.
I didn't mean to.
Ouch.
I'm sorry, y'all. My fault.
Well, I'll be playing Tina's older sister, Eileen.
Come on,
oh, okay.
Eileen.
And thank God I am just doing that for right now. Mm-hmm. Who knows what may happen after that? Mm-hmm. We don't know how it's gonna be, but right now that is a track that I will be doing, and I'm.
Now, who are you replacing?
I'm replacing the beautiful Mars.
Mars, okay. Mars Rucker is that?
Mars Rucker.
Mars Rucker is their name.
Who is the first black non-binary person on Broadway?
Yes,
awesome.
And that is something wonderful, and I would love to see more of those barriers being broken.
Yeah.
So you know, I got some shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Mars, you did a wonderful job, and I wish I could have seen them in it. Doing this role, but you know, doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Right, you didn't get to see the show.
Singing doo-wop for the white folks.
Well, I mean, Mars ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Because you did that.
Mm-hmm. No,
you did
it's
that.
Fun. And I'm still there until March 1st. So if y'all, you know,
Urchin is a classic role.
Yes.
So, like, any chance you get to, like, be Urchin off Broadway, especially, like, in a that type of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you go for it.
And
you go with it.
I mean,
it. Like,
this particular production of Little Shop has been so dope.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the cast is wonderful. And we're already such a small cast anyway, and you have some big names in there. But we are all so close and so connected and so
and
chill.
I met the two other urchins at Broadway Sessions.
Salome Smith and Joy Woods.
Woo, they sang.
They sang.
Yes,
these
they
ladies
sing.
Sang. And I mean, you got girls from, you got Joy's from Chicago. And then Salome is from Alabama, Birmingham.
Yeah.
Come on,
Birmingham. You know, you got three girls who have been there, okay? Well,
yeah, I'm here for that.
So, we love it. And I mean, you can tell the energy within the cast and within the show is just so contagious.
Right.
Now, Jeremy Jordan's not there yet, is he?
Not yet. I think he will start March 17th.
Oh, so you're going to be gone.
I'll be gone by then.
Oh, okay.
So I won't be able to meet him, but I hear he's going to be
great.
Wait,
who's your Seymour right now?
Gideon Glick.
Oh, okay.
He's
Gideon.
So cute.
He's a delight.
He's wonderful to work with.
I've always really liked him as an actor.
Yes.
He's very, very interesting.
His Seymour is literally the sweetest. And he makes some acting beats that I'm like, oh, you know what? If I thought about that too, I'd be mad at that too. Because, I mean, I'm thinking about you eating this plant and you trying to do this. I mean, you're yeah. literally thinking about his acting choices. And yeah. it's nice. Wonderful. And, of course, you know Jonathan Groff, which is the godfather of my kids. Hey, Jai-Jai. I doubt he'll be listening to this. But
who was Jonathan Groff playing?
Jonathan Groff was our original Seymour.
Oh, he was the original.
He okay, was yeah, the original yeah. Seymour. Now he moved on to bigger, better things, doing the Matrix 4.
Oh, wow. Is he?
No, yes.
The honey. Blood.
Yes, I said the blood. Smart. I said, so Jonathan I need works. You. He yes. maybe works.
He's been television.
Television. Film, Frozen.
Like,
I feel like
works.
That family been praying
and
for
and he
a
still
long
comes
time.
Back to the theater, which is like he sort of insane because it's like, what are they paying you that makes you still come back here? It exactly. just has to be the love.
And but, I have to say, it was honestly the love.
But I really want to know what the white folks make off Broadway. Like,
I would like to know too.
I mean, somebody, we need to bring somebody in and
we
just,
should.
Have them, just ask them right
just
there. So, what
them.
Do you make? Do like,
I mean, if history tells us anything,
right? That's exactly. what I'm saying.
Where are we to
but
look
everybody's
at the history
so hush
books,
hush, like about what they make in this industry, and we shouldn't be if we want equality,
right?
Mm, yeah. I want liberation, but equality is nice too. That's
I
a good starting point.
I want liberation.
I want more than what you have. I would like some of your things as well.
Like some of your
yes. That's another story. Yes.
I will say with Jonathan, and I mean, you had Jonathan, you have Christian Borle, and then you have Tammy Blanchard, who's our Audrey. And I'm probably sure they're making probably more than us, but they're probably not making what they should be making because it's off Broadway. Mm. And so everybody's like, oh, you know, I had to cut back on something today, but I love coming to work and, you know, doing what I need to do. And we kind of, you know,
you're
share.
Have to cut back once that residual hits.
Okay. I said, look, you better.
Let me have a taste
let
of that.
Me taste
of
that.
Residuals no. check.
Let
I promise you, I'll be fine.
But they seem to be, everybody was willing to give. You know, yeah. like Jonathan is such a giver that he was like, you know what? I got y'all. We've been working so hard. Let's have a day for ourselves. I'm paying for this. You know,
oh, that's
like,
beautiful. I love that.
It's been yes. that. So that's why
oh, that's
I've
good
never
energy.
Had
that's
that experience,
energy.
You know, with something yeah. like that. And then it's off Broadway. I mean, we had the West Side Theater where it's like 43rd, where it's,
right.
it's nice, but you right on Skid Row where it's like you right, still yeah. get the right. crackheads mm-hmm. that are right outside mm-hmm. the door asking mm-hmm. for some change.
Mm-hmm. Shout out. It. Shout so out. I mean, shout out to the people.
Shout out to the people.
Yeah. Like,
keep us humble. Keep us real. Mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, they it's all in the streets now.
It's all in the streets now. I said, what the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's something happening.
It is something happening.
I'm not, because it's not like usual. Like,
are we talking about crack?
Yes. I'm like, what is going on?
Sorry.
I'm like, what? I'm just
that's
saying.
Just such a turn for me. I was like, wait, what?
The opioid addiction
it's whatever
or
it is.
Whatever
is
going
it's
on
bad.
Is something happened, like, especially in the Times Square
Times
area.
Square. Yeah.
Like, where you're seeing the dealers and the people.
Can you imagine?
And you're walking
and
right
you're walking
past
right
them.
Past
yeah,
them.
Like... Like, and they're part of
right, like they're
the
part
scenery
of
now, like, especially on like 8th and 42nd and
yes.
3rd, like 43rd and 8th. Like,
but imagine how much rent you're paying for that to be. Your...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, for that to be your experience.
No shade. I'm just
Ian's
like, wow.
Face said, we're not going to do this today.
But it's like, it's like they're already in like high traffic areas.
Yeah.
So it's like,
right.
What can you do? It's like people,
right.
everybody's here all the time.
All the time. And I'm like, I know y'all see, it is a police station
right here.
Right here.
Yeah.
And they don't give no shits.
And the police don't care either.
And they don't care neither.
Clearly.
That's clearly.
The police is like, look, I'm not going to be
not,
going back
I'm,
and forth
right,
to the precinct
I'm not doing this.
All day. Like.
He said, I got to go home. I'm
period.
Just here to make my quota. Mm-hmm. And I ain't going to do it with y'all.
That's it. Well,
but, so now you're going to Tina.
I'm going to Tina. I'm excited.
You already started rehearsals?
Not yet. I start rehearsals next week.
Okay.
And it's like double doing double duty.
That's what I was saying. Like,
thank you.
That double duty, boy, that's a tough one, but
I
it'd be
said,
worth it, don't
it? Worth it.
That
I
overlap
said,
check.
Okay.
For that two check.
Right.
Yeah. And then hopefully the taxes
that's
will come in right after that, and
yeah.
then I'll be triple
well,
lapped. Okay.
That's
yes.
what we
I'm
like to
that.
See. We love
I'm,
to see that.
I'm excited
they
to do this. It's I guess a comedic relief of the show. So, you know, I do those best because I'm a fool in real life. And I'm happy to bring it on stage to
yeah.
the folks.
Wow. I can't wait to see you in it.
I can't wait. I start March 10th. That's my first performance.
Okay.
Wow.
So March 10th, I'll be in there. That don't give me much time.
That don't. It give me like 2 weeks?
Barely.
Yeah, like 10 days.
10 days.
Oh, God.
And if you count out the two show days, take that and that's 8 days.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So no,
said,
no.
But you got this.
We gonna do it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're oh, not God. Even worried.
I'm not worried. It's gonna be lit.
I'm so happy for you. That's
what
amazing.
About you? What about you, Ian? What's been going on
Ian
with
been
you?
Booked.
You been booked
oh,
in black.
Have I really? I always forget I be booked. That really that was not meant to
wow.
be whatever. That really was not meant to be
right. Right.
No, I just got back from Connecticut, where I was at Long Wharf Theater working as their cultural competency consultant.
Okay.
For I Am My Own Wife, starring the Mason Alexander Park, directed by Jessica Martinez. I hope that's right. It was a great experience. Really, Long Wharf is going through a lot of shifts and changes right now because they had some previous management that is now no longer there, and that's a good thing. So it was nice to be part of an environment that's like really shifting over and trying to change, really like address the environment. Shout out to Hope Chavez, who is the artistic producer there, who's a friend of mine and who I like really trust as far as doing EDI work and things like that.
I love that.
And then I got back from Connecticut and then went to see C.A. Johnson's All the Natalie Portmans over at the CC.
How was it?
It's a really good show. I really like it.
Shout out to Joshua Boone.
Yeah, yes. I'm on MCC's talkback facilitation team.
Right.
So I also facilitated a talkback on Sunday for that. Nice. And yeah, other than that, just had a nice little V-Day weekend.
Word.
Awesome.
What I was supposed to do.
What about you?
You had a nice V-Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Let's give it a
I was minding my business. That's what I was doing. She
said, I'm going to shut it down.
I was minding my business and very much in love and very much doing
complications with
that. You're
in love. Okay, is that your man on your phone there?
No, that ain't the...
Look
no,
at you.
No, this is I will shout out my boo. This is Baze White, who unfortunately in December passed away.
Oh,
but that's my best friend, and this is his chain, and he was a podcaster himself.
Gotcha.
Podcast of Color, and was doing a lot for changing the podcast environment. But that's my baby in my heart. But my person and I that child is complicated, but that's my person.
Oh, wow. That's all right.
Okay.
So that's all you got to know. I was minding my business and having a good old time.
We'll learn more later on.
You know what? As time progresses, my love life may become more involved. But yeah. But she stayed lifted the whole weekend. It was wild. I've never done this before, but yeah. She feeling good.
Okay.
She feeling good.
I love that.
What about you, Drew?
I feel like I've been working. Like, I don't know. What else? I feel like I was just here last week. I've been trying to stay on schedule.
No.
My schedules are tight right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really tight. I love to see it, too. I'm creating and doing things that I want to do. Yes. I've actually invested in myself. I took the leap and invested in myself this past week.
Word.
I think a lot of people think that because I've started a Patreon account or that I've solicited donations to keep Broadway Black going, that I am somehow in dire need of assistance, or I am in need.
Just want to say you need help.
I really believe that.
No,
that,
yeah.
It's that I don't need help.
Right.
I want help.
Right.
There's a difference.
No, yeah.
For that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need help.
Uh huh.
I want help.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I want the help. I want this to be a community-based project.
Mm. Right.
I want Broadway Black to be about the community, and not everyone has to agree with me, but you can't be anti-Black. You can't be certain things to be a part of this community.
Right.
But also, just me going backwards because I started to go off on a tangent there. I don't need the help. I want the help. And I just took the leap. I think my thing has been about a faith thing for me, like a fear thing, not really wanting to invest in myself in that way, not really believing in myself wholly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really took some money and I went and bought the equipment that I've needed for a long time.
Right. Good for you.
Yeah. Like I really went and just, I said, you know what? I have it.
Gotcha.
Why am I not doing what I need? Why am I waiting for a magical number for me to have for me to get what I need?
Exactly.
Like, why do I need to have five times the amount before I purchase what it is that I need?
Yeah. Right.
I don't.
No.
And so I just went and spent so much money that I wanted to vomit in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like vomit in my mouth. But it's going to be for the best. And so I started creating with that. And so this magazine that I've been doing, so you guys know I've been working on a magazine, which is supposed to have been out at the beginning of February. But because I am a perfectionist, and not even just a perfectionist, I just like things to be done well.
Right.
Right.
I've sort of started revamping it again. Like, I was going to drop it, and I was like, oh, I'm not really satisfied.
Right.
And so I've sort of been working on redesigning that. It'll come out before the end of the month is over. But I sort of redesigned that this past week. I got a call back for an audition that is, like, sort of crazy. Not even like something I would like, something I truly genuinely do not care about.
Don't it always work? It's like the ones you don't care about, you always get a call back.
Like, tell me about it.
That's what I'm like. That's what I'm experiencing right now, right? Because I don't audition like that. And when I do audition, I go in, you know, fully expecting to book the gig.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
As you should.
Oh, I'm fully going expecting to book the gig.
For sure.
As you should.
Spencer, could you turn down his mic?
I mean, that's just the way it goes. I do go in expecting to book the gig, and sometimes, because I want the gig, I don't really do as well as I should, because nerves sort of get in front of you, or, you know, just whatever. And also because I haven't been auditioning for a while, so I am relearning my book.
There's that.
Yeah, I'm relearning my book. But yeah, I got this audition that I just sort of nailed in a way that was just really weird. And so that's been my week, like auditioning and working and creating, and I spent a shitload of money. Was that a lot? I said a lot.
That was good. I was listening. No, but that was good. I'm sorry. I was definitely looking at my sister over here. She wearing a whole little outfit. I got distracted. Oh, but I'm here. Now. She's gone now. Listen, it was a lesbian moment for me, all right? Okay. That wasn't for anybody else. It was a lesbian moment for me.
Lord Jesus.
I was like, give us a tea.
No, because we're in a new studio, you guys, we're like, we can see in the hallway. We can see there's like an engineer booth. Like, there's other things happening.
No, but I heard everything.
Oh, and also, I guess I didn't put up last week's video, but I guess I'm going to start like putting, I didn't edit them. So I want to edit them, because it was sort of clips like we were talking before to actually record it. And then also, you can't hear the sound effects on the video. Like, from the, if you listen to the episode. You can't hear the sound effects, so it's a little different of different experience. But
I'll make the sound effects out, then.
Yes.
For the video.
So I have to figure out how to make the experience in just as enjoyable, but in a different way with the video. I don't know how to do it yet, but we'll figure it out.
Hot topics?
Oh, yeah. We about to get into the...
Sorry.
No. Yeah, keep us on schedule, please. Because, you know, we got places... we got places to be. Okay. Yes. What?
Actually, what I will say is that something that you were saying did remind me of one of our hot topics, to make a little segue.
Yes. Come on.
But sort of, you were talking about, so what I interpreted it as was sort of like moving from a place of like surplus rather than deficit, right? Mm-hmm. Moving from a mindset of like surplus.
Yes. Not operating from a place of lack. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's been,
And so what this reminds me of is our topic that we wanted to talk about, which was Tyler Perry and A Fall from Grace and the wigs. I feel like it's nice to come back to this.
That is actually a really good... I hate you for it. No, so, you're not wrong at all.
But like, you know, I think it's good to like come back to this conversation of A Fall from Grace, which also like shout out to the ancestors, because y'all really got a good joke in you.
They love jokes.
But like, I think that like, you know, A Fall from Grace has been, like, discussed. It has been memed. Yeah. It has been, like, the culture in general has, like, had a lot of conversations about A Fall from Grace. And yet it has also experienced a lot of, like, you know, hate watch success and things like that. And, I mean, I have my opinions about it reveals about, like, culture and working from a mindset of deficit rather than surplus. But I'd be interested to hear how other folks are absorbing it.
My thing is,
I want to know what you got to say.
This movie was okay. So if you don't know, this movie was filmed in 5 days. Tyler Perry filmed it on his new studio lot. So he has his brand new lot,
the Confederate land.
Okay. It stars Felicia Rashad,
and I know they have a hearty hee haw right now. Like
this, it stars Felicia Rashad, Breisha Webb, Cicely Tyson's also in it, and some of the other the haves and have-nots characters. Well, not characters. I mean,
people. They're people, Drew. They're people.
You know, the people that play the characters.
They brought the same characters from the Half and Have Not.
True. Also true.
And the same wigs.
Oh, Jesus. So, where's the shots?
So, we're talking about this because Felicia Rashad, if Felicia Rashad can do it, anybody can. It sort of changed my perspective. I mean, I know she's worked with him before on For Color Girls that he ruined, but... I I'm here for Felicia Rashad doing new and creative works. And she knew reading that script that there were plots like missing. There were plot holes, just Swiss cheese all through that script. And I am confused as to how she said, I'm going forth. But if she can do it and still create magic, like she still gave me beats.
Do you think that she actually got a script beforehand? Or do you think that she said yes off of the power of Tyler Perry alone?
Because I feel like...
I don't think she would have not done it without a script.
No, I feel like the girls got their own scenes. I think everybody got individual scenes. I don't think anybody felt like everybody came in there for fulfillment.
Everybody got sides.
Well, yeah, like...
Did he fire his whole writing team before?
Well, this is what... Yes, he... Yes, go ahead.
I'm waiting. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, because you got it already.
It's been on my spear for so long, and I have a platform. Y'all fucked up giving me a platform. I'm so sorry.
Come on, get it in.
All right, so what I said to my, 12 Twitter followers in my dissertation on Twitter. No, but seriously, I think that the thing that I was hearing all these things and I was like, well, Tyler Perry strikes again, And then I saw an interview where Tyler Perry specifically was asked about the wigs, and he quoted, I read the full article to make sure I got the quote, but Tyler literally said, like, I don't have 10 hours to find like the perfect wig. And I thought to myself, Black people deserve your 10 hours. Black people deserve good wigs. We deserve writing teams. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing. And this is how I reference this to like working from a mindset of deficit rather than surplus is that how is it that you have countless resources at your disposal? You are Tyler Perry. You are a titan in the industry, regardless of how you feel about Tyler Perry's contributions to that industry. But he's undeniably a titan and a heavy hitter in the industry.
Right.
And you are acting as if you only have 5 days to film an entire movie. Now,
because to him, he does only have 5 days. He's trying to do so many different things to him that this is all this movie is worth. It's 5 days, and we can get it done in 5 days because he's never changed his formula. His thing was I think we all thought when we went to go see A Diary of a Mad Black Woman that, oh, the wigs are bad and the movie's not really that great, but we enjoyed it and we love it anyway, and we're going to support it anyway because he's going to get better if we support it. It's going to grow. It's going to be better if we support. We can't have nothing if we don't support it.
Right.
And so that's what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will take the less than, we will take the whatever we're given, because we think that, like you said, we'll never get anything else if we don't take on this.
And we as Black people in general have the right to not only not support other Black artists, but we have the right to critique those Black artists openly and in public. And often I think we need to. And I think that there is, because of the deficit that like we are, like, because now what happens is that we're not only like working from a place of deficit because like white folks are constantly white folking, but now we're working from a place of deficit because Black people who do gain access and do become heavy hitters, rather than reversing and applying our standards of greatness to the work that we do, they lower their standards to white standards, which are undeniably lower than ours because they have had everything.
And,
and so then they lower their standards. They move from a place as if our audience is not worth fighting for, working for, advocating for, creating real content for. And then all of a sudden, we're now all working. We're all working from this mentality that we are subservient. We are unable to reach heights. And it's like, and it's just so upsetting to see someone who has that much access think that something like wigs aren't important. I'm sorry. I can go to like at least 16 different spots in Atlanta today.
Okay, today.
And find someone who's working in Mama's Kitchen, and the wigs coming out of there are laid.
Yeah. I said, I'm from Atlanta. That's the hair capital. So
right.
I don't
like,
understand
you're not, it's like you have to actively work to find, like, and then there's another interview he did where he said that, I've worked in writers' rooms before and people like weren't like people, like I couldn't find anyone who would work with me. And it's like, well, that's because you're not.
They didn't get his style is what he said. They didn't get his style, and
what
his ratings were going down.
That's the question.
And
what is your style?
The viewers the viewership was going down on his shows because they didn't understand how to connect with his audience.
And you know what that says to me?
And his audience wants his voice.
Because here's the thing. If a white man said that exact same thing about working with a team of black writers, mm-hmm. we would know exactly what that meant.
Exactly.
And so rather than... So I'm not looking at Tyler for his skin. I'm looking at Tyler for his actions. And your actions right now are very siloed and very white. Like that
because
is the
he's
definition.
Treating black people as though we are... dumb.
Exactly. As if as we're dumb. We are, as if like our as if we're just to something to be like used and fed to. Like you are making your money off of our backs.
That has been his whole thing from the very beginning. And it's unfortunate that that is what he believes is a thing. I mean, it's unfortunate that he believes that that's the only way that he can make his art.
Right.
That he doesn't believe that he can grow and do anything differently or better. That he feels like it's not broken, it's working, I'm making lots of money, people are watching it, there are 25 million, but people are watching it because we've come to understand your brand and what it is that you do. It's not that we necessarily love it. And some people do love it. I shouldn't say that. Some people do absolutely enjoy it and love it.
And I think also what he does do well is that he brings very talented black people into the room to perform his work, but he doesn't give them great scripts. I mean, not all of them all the time, okay. But
yeah, like right.
Well, I mean, listen, Felicia, like we ain't gonna say this. Like, if Felicia and Cicely are doing your work, Felicia, that's not something that everybody gets to do.
Right, Felicia and Cicely are doing your work because who else is offering them film work?
Which,
who else is offering Cicely Tyson a major motion picture? Which is why she's been doing guest appearances on How to Get Away with Murder. And
that's true.
Doing readings and accepting awards because they're not paying her to accept awards. They're just honoring her for her legacy. But who is giving 97, 98-year-old Cicely Tyson a major motion picture movie?
You're right. Fuck him entirely.
Felicia Rashad is not getting movies either, but she's also directing a play uptown at the Apollo Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
called Blue. Mm-hmm. They just released the cast for that show. Lord, Father God, they released the cast for the Apollo. Oh, it's going to, what is this? Oh, yeah. It's going to Apollo Theater. Alan H. Green is a part of the show. Chauncey Chestnut, Reuben Clark, Gabriel Brown, Brandon Michael Hall, Sam Clark III, Sam Clark. Oh, he's as Sam Clark G. Oh, no, I'm naming off characters now.
You remember when he got confused with the has and have not?
Yes,
he was talking about the actors and the characters.
Yes, listen. also, Alicia Stith, and they'll be joining the previously announced Leslie Uggams and Lynn Whitfield. The play at the Apollo Theater begins performances April 27th, so that's coming up really soon.
Okay.
And opening night is set for May 10th. Okay, that should be fun. So they were looking for a Broadway house. They were announcing that this was coming to Broadway, but it didn't end up coming to Broadway.
I suspect the whites.
It's well, because there are no theaters right now.
There's none.
There are no theaters.
There are no theaters.
Beetlejuice is being pushed out for Music Man. And Beetlejuice is actually performing pretty well in the numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, they
looked at the grosses.
They're performing well.
Yeah, so I think they might have a chance to come back.
Yeah.
But I saw somebody tweet that it would be a really great campaign for Beetlejuice to say, you know, come back, do a revival and sing Rising from the Dead. Like,
that's brilliant.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So that'd be cute. What else? Audra McDonald will be leading a streetcar named Desire.
Now this, I'm excited.
I
gotta go to Massachusetts.
So that was another project that sort of popped up this week too, because we have to go see Audra McDonald.
Yes.
And trying to figure out how to secure those tickets and do a bus trip.
Okay.
We will do that very thing.
Yeah. Like, that's a must.
Absolutely.
So she's, what's his name? Bobby Cannavale?
He's actually, he always surprises me. I always like him, and I'm always suspecting that I won't, and then I do.
Mm. Yeah, he surprises
me too. No other
information. And he always just keeps popping up and stuff.
He does.
You don't know. You're looking like you don't know who that is.
I don't. Sorry to this man.
Yes, get out that mic. You already knew. Because you knew you had more laugh in you.
Miss Thing.
You knew there was more laugh.
You are really about yourself.
I know.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Let's see.
What?
Sorry, there's more news. I saw the next thing to talk about.
That's why you started going off?
I didn't go off now. Oh. That, listen.
See,
the drama.
The drama.
No, but I just want to talk about Andre Shields.
Oh, yes.
Because I thought that was a beautiful moment.
But what were we just talking about there? Because now I want to talk about
Audra. That's what I was.
Yeah, she's doing A Streetcar Named Desire. Up at Williamstown
on the kindness of strangers.
Massachusetts. I said that right. Massachusetts.
Oh, because you remember the last time. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was a hard word. That was
yes,
a word.
I got it.
Yes.
But you know why I think that I'm able to say it now?
Why?
It's because I stopped smoking. And so I found out that I have a deviated septum.
Oh, okay.
And so now I'm draining all of that out. And like all of that is coming, like all of the mucus and shit. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's
yeah, what else is happening?
Detox and shit.
That's everything. I mean, all the details.
What? This bitch, this is my show. Yes. I will tell all the details.
I love it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Do want to talk about Andre DeShields.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that like a coming out? Like, can I even say that?
Yes.
Because like,
I mean, he's had a coming out statement about it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I feel like. Yeah. Because it's like, that wasn't knowledge, common knowledge. And so it sort of was like an announcement in a way.
Yeah, right. He made an announcement and came forward and said he's been living with HIV I don't know if he said how long he's been living with it, but that he's doing really well.
Yeah.
It was very, very positive.
Since I've known Mr. DeShields, he has always been in good health and taking care of himself
worked out. With him. He's always,
He eats a grapefruit a day. Yes. That's something that I've gotten from him that I will take with me for the rest of my life. So he's been wonderful.
Which is a reminder that the face of HIV looks like a lot of different things.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not like he's, that's what I'm, God, I hope I didn't say anything that,
No. I was bouncing off what you were saying. Okay. Just saying that, like, I think that I think that the more that we see, like, particularly Black gay men coming forward and talking about, you know, HIV and their relationship to it, it's crucial that we have more faces like that to actually gain like an accurate picture of what HIV looks like.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, because so often it's, you know, portrayed from, you know, the 70s or the 80s, and it's always like, you know, skinny white boys who get, you know, Oscars for like makeup
or the enhancements.
I ain't seen The Inheritance, so I can't speak about that yet, but I can suspect. But you know, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a great thing, and especially, you know, like we were just talking about 1 and 2, and so like that's, you know,
right.
Yeah,
we are the our community are the folks being affected, and so I love seeing more of us being able to come forward and live our truth.
And also knowing that it's not a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people are just so used to the stigma of if you have.
I think I need HIV to talk about it more because.
And AIDS. Yeah.
I think I just need to have more conversation about it because I don't know why I still like start to sweat and like I still get like.
Well, but like, I mean, but that's like
a traumatic experience. Like my body,
right.
Like not that I feel that way inside, but my body starts to get. I don't know, weird. Like, I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing, or I don't want to say the wrong
thing.
Right,
right.
I want to be...
There is an institutionalized fear of this disease. And
exactly.
Like I'm not even saying the right thing by calling it that. But, like, there is an institutionalized fear of what this is that has been specifically targeted at Black gay men.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it happens, like, at the largest moments when we have, like, presidents who, like, just would never say the word and allowed, like, you know, countless people to die. And then it also happens in smaller moments when you go to, when, like, Black trans women are going to, you know, the clinic just to get, like, a regular STD check,
right,
and are made to label themselves as M2M or like,
right.
Men who have sex with men, you know, MSMs, sorry, not M2M, but MSMs, you know. And so I think that, you know, of course, like, that makes total sense that you would have that fear because it's something that's institutionally ingrained against the Black queer community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, speaking also of the Black queer community, I went the Hot Wing King, our event this week, went really, really great.
Oh, yes.
The play is wonderful. It's in its first week of previews this week, so they're still getting up on their feet. But the essence of what Katori has written and what Steve is directing is phenomenal. It was there. We had a talk back with Ryan Jamal Swain from Pose and the cast. And
also a Birmingham, Alabama native.
Yes, yes.
Also graduated from my high school. What's up, boo?
Oh, my. Y'all both from Birmingham?
No, but we are all in the same circle.
Oh,
Birmingham and Atlanta is literally right there.
Yeah, we right there.
We right there.
Okay.
Wait, you not from New York?
Interesting. But I'm glad I got you fooled. She's a versatile.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, what was I just talking about?
Ryan Jamal Swain.
Oh yes, okay, yes. So that went well. Like, it was so great. That's what also I did this week. I forgot about that. I did that this week too.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
You did that thing.
I saw flyers for that. And I was like, that is so nice.
Yeah, I cannot.
I wanted to be there, but it was Valentine's Day, so I was I got things.
You know, priorities. I did. Oh God.
Lord Jesus. Do it for the culture.
Okay.
Because some of us got to work on Valentine's Day.
I did what I needed to be doing.
Okay. All right.
Wow. You know what, Ashley? I did what I needed to do, too. Me and my husband went to go get snow crab legs, and that's all I wanted.
I'm just like, okay, y'all.
I prayed. I was with Christ.
Oscar-nominated screenwriter and director Dee Reese was set to write and direct a new film adaption of Porgy and Bess, which we do not need, but here we are. Anyway, so I'm very, she says, I'm very excited to take on the challenge of this highly venerated, iconic material and lift the architecture of this unlikely love story and recite it at a place and moment of resistance. Okay, so if she's going to redo the movie, so it's not Porgy and Bess, you should call it something else then, if you're going to put it in a different time period. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Like, remember they redid Romeo and Juliet? Perhaps they redid Romeo and Juliet, but wasn't it called something different? Was it called like Somebody's Romeo and Juliet, or I don't remember. With the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, ain't that?
Didn't they do that with the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess?
I mean, yes, because they turned it into a musical. It's already the Gershwin's. Ain't it already Gershwin's?
I was going to say, it's the Gershwin's. They don't want to make the story.
Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet?
No, I mean, like, if you're going to... Dee Reese, Porgy and Bess, or something. If you're going to rechange, because now it seems like you're going to do it. It's a different film.
Yes, well, yeah. Right.
Well, is it if it just you just change, like, the setting?
So you're going to... The same script, just in a different setting.
It's like the whole
thing. I know that I'm wrong. I can tell by the faces that I'm wrong. I don't know why I'm wrong.
Well, because
I'm
the Gershwins went to Catfish Row and then wrote Porgy and Bess. Mm-hmm.
So changing the scenery.
Like a real place.
Something I am doing is wrong. That's what I know. I don't know why it's
that's
not
like that's like taking
that
that's like taking
wrong.
Rent and putting Rent in Indiana, Chicago. Where I'm from. You would have to change so much about the piece. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
No. But I can tell that I'm wrong.
Because he was all
I'm taking the L on this. Like, there are three niggas in here looking at me like I'm stupid. So I'm going to just take the L on this one. Because I'm wrong. In some way, I am wrong. Not clear why, but I am wrong.
I don't know, man.
But I think you was asking the right questions.
You are asking the right questions. I get it too.
I always try to be, but I felt.
Because you was trying to connect the dots.
Something ain't landed for me. And that's okay.
In the water.
Something just ain't clean in the water for me. And that's all right. It don't have to be.
Like, I understand.
I just was like, but that seems fine.
Look, Eddie over there scared to laugh.
You really got this man terrified. You really have this man's holy terrified.
Yeah. Eddie over there scared to laugh. I keep seeing him.
No, because he can't even. Some of y'all be listening to this at work.
Okay, Eddie, just laugh one good time so they can hear what we're talking about.
You really performed. You really performed for this light-skinned man. How dare you? How dare you do that? How dare you do that?
I want better for you.
It just be right there.
You ain't seen a script or nothing, and you decided to jump.
That's my portion. Joy is my portion.
Cast the bitch. And I love
cast
it.
Me. Cast me, bitch.
That joy is your center. Like, you're grounded in joy.
That's beautiful.
It really is because you've always been that way since we met. You have always been that way, which is why we've always been still been friends. Right?
Literally just bubbles.
I love it to death.
Thank you.
Okay. He love you just away from the mic.
Yeah.
I mean, as he long love you as at a distance. As long as you know. What else? What else? What else? Oh, we've been meaning to talk about this. Let me just get it off now. This Geffen Playhouse residency, which we don't know what's being created yet, but we know that Terrell Alvin McCraney.
Sterling
Brown. If you want to get over your gay face, Terrell, like you talk to him for all.
I think he has a man right now.
that's like,
white man.
No, no. I please don't. I don't know. I don't know.
I will not accept.
I just won't accept that. I won't even entertain the thought. I won't entertain the thought.
I would say that I met Terrell when I was working at the Equinox Gym in Chelsea, and I like walked up to him and said, "Oh my God, you are like somebody. You're my favorite playwright. Oh my God." He was like,
"Terrell,
thank you."
Oh.
He's, and that was it. And
yes.
I mean, like, I know that we're in love, but
police help!
I mean, he's so gracious, and his energy is so like magnetic in a way.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like mysterious.
Yes.
And, and just so like
cool. I need to figure.
He can
this
change.
Out.
Like, he's an actor, I think too. Like, he's a film actor at heart, because he can change the essence of the room with just like a smile or like the tilt of a head. Like, it's sort of weird. Oh God,
and
I love
so
much.
Amy. Yes, and we love the climb trees.
But anyway, okay, we're not doing this. Anyway, but we don't know what's happening with
the. He's going back and climb that tree, bitch.
We don't know what's happening at the Geffen Playhouse quite yet, but the Sterling K. Brown, Terrell Alvin McCraney, Andre Holland, Brian Tyree Henry, they're working under the name Cast Iron Entertainment. The artist cohort has been given the resources and dramaturgical support.
You got there?
Yes, I did, because I was trying to read too fast. Dramaturgical support to develop theater projects as a collective of Black artists. Cast Iron will focus on projects centered on the experiences of artists of color. Davis said, We feel like the theater world needs that. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. The year-long residency began in December and is the first of its kind at Geffen, with the artists receiving full creative control, no stipulation to produce work. Our goal is to give them the space they need to create. Matt Shackman is the artistic director at Geffen.
We love it.
Most times when you sponsor a group of artists, there's a sense of quid pro quo and you need to come up with something. But with the Geffen residency, there is no end game in sight. The artists met more than 10 years ago at the Sundance Theater Lab as part of the cast developing McCraney's wig out. They approached Shackman about finding space to create in 2018, and the Geffen launched the residency after securing funding from the Pop Culture Collaborative Stewart Family Foundation. The residency provides the opportunity to throw a few things against the wall and see what sticks. So they're just creating whatever. And I love that they use all their name, their star power to do that, to have a space for it. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. What else? We talked about Black Orpheus coming to Broadway, supposedly.
Oh, yes.
I'm excited about that.
Well, they've been talking about that for years, though.
George C. Wolfe.
I was like, come on, George.
They've been talking about Black Orpheus coming
to Broadway.
So, like,
it might be coming. We excited.
And now it says it could be headed to Broadway. It's directed by George C. Wolfe. It is... Let's see. The show features a book by Pulitzer Prize winner
George C.
Nottage,
Wolfe's
and
Black Orpheus. See, I'm getting it now.
No,
I'm
this would be Lynn Nottage's, because she's writing the book. George C. Wolfe is directing.
Right.
Not George C. Wolfe. Black Orpheus. Right.
Because Dee Reese was writing and directing the... I can't. Okay, I was just, trying to clear that. Yeah. But Camille A. Brown will choreograph this musical.
That was the part.
So
you can't have a black show today if it ain't got
Camille. If Camille's not doing it, are we even doing a show?
Like, right. I mean, I'm not saying the girls are doing it. I'm just saying the girls are not doing it.
You be like, what's your show? Is Camille doing it?
Who gonna be there?
Did y'all realize how funny it is that that is happening now, because she could not get a Broadway
job? Exactly. Which is so, with me wanting to cross that line anyways and be a choreographer, because it ain't enough of us, and it's like Camille, she the only one holding it down.
Mm-hmm. Listen, honey, all you gotta see is Camille sitting down and just sewing.
Okay.
She does that little
that
sew.
Thing?
Oh, she did a sew!
It's going to be a masterpiece.
Listen.
I'm like, we trying to be like that.
Listen.
I want to meet
honey,
that.
A grounded dancer.
A grounded
love
dancer.
Love. That
and
is
now
what
being
we
booked
love
for everything.
She's grounded.
Okay.
Yeah.
Camille, we love you.
Okay, so yeah, that's happening, Black Orpheus. This Aida.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, see.
I don't know too much about it.
I just know.
Blackface is wrong. Don't do it.
I just want to say, in the opera world, this seems to be a thing that happens a lot. This is no stranger that most of these opera singers, that they do get these big, well-known opera singers. Mm-hmm. They are in blackface, and they don't really see a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular, I'm going to butcher her last name, Anna
Netrebeko.
Yeah, Netrebeko. Mm-hmm. And she has done some.
Netrebeko.
Netrebeko.
Right. You know,
she, Nabisco.
Okay.
Well,
same shit as a white lady.
You know, don't pick up that little Nabisco.
She has been known
to be taking.
Yeah.
Oh, she's taking people roles.
She's been known to have been taking black prolific roles in these big operas. And the fact that they just got done doing Porgy and Bess?
Porgy and Bess.
Yeah.
And, it was such a success.
Oh, and she in blackface.
Yes. And, she's been in blackface. But you should look at her statement of what she was saying about being in blackface.
No! What'd she say?
Basically, she was trying to say...
These Instagram.
In June of 2019, posted a photo of herself in character as Aida on Instagram. In the photograph, the singer is shown wearing skin-darkened makeup. Means she's in blackface. Yes. I can just say that. And when a respondent on the post asked her if engaging in blackface was really necessary, she responded by saying the following: blackface and black body for Ethiopian princess for Verdi's greatest opera. Yes. By building the opening night. Well, that means you need to give the role to somebody that has the melanin for it.
Exactly. But this is my thing. There's plenty.
Blackface is wrong. Don't do it.
I just don't understand why. I feel like there are plenty of black opera singers.
There are.
That are wonderful. I mean, I'm looking at one.
There are Porgy and Bess.
We just saw the success of Porgy and Bess.
This production is racist. These people are racist.
This is the same.
They are racist.
But they're doing it right after during Porgy and Bess is the same.
Because they're racist.
Because here's the gotcha. Because that's the part that pisses me off the most, because the opera girls have this luxury of knowing that they've booked a show for like at least a year plus in advance. Like, they know these seasons so that they can go and learn the rep. Like, this is not new. So it was like they knew somewhere at the Met that it was like, you know what we finna do? We finna do Porgy and Bess.
And then right after.
And right after we let them niggas out, we bring somebody in here in blackface. Right. Let's shake it right back up. Let's get that white money back in here. Sorry for scaring you patrons.
And it kills me. And I'm just like, but look at the success that you just had with Porgy and Bess. And the records that it did for this season.
And they got the money.
And they got the money. So now they can go
back to our regular scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it just...
Oh, God. Okay. I can't even go. Let's go on. It's time for I Said What I Said. What we got?
Hold up. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Bitch move. Oh. See, motherfuckers think this shit easy. Like, it ain't no technique. They don't know how to dip and glide, slip and slide. They don't know how to ride it the way it needs to be rode. Drop it like it needs to be dropped. Make the booty clap like that. Like the thunder do when God trying to shake the mess out of Mississippi. They don't know how to be like a feather on the pole. Light and so tight that sweat, that bead up your legs under them lights won't make you slide off into the abyss of that doughboy rain. See, us bitches always got something gain. Fuck the pain, cause when them ones come tumbling down, I'll drop that G-string and back that ass up right into a nigga crotch in a minute. Boop, boop, boop. Who got the keys to the trunk? I do, boo. Yeah, see, motherfuckers think this shit easy. But only some Mississippi bread, chitlins and pecan pie-fed cornbread and collard greens grown all natural talent could do this shit. This shit is hard motherfucking work.
All right.
Okay.
So 30 seconds. Here we go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Wig out?
No.
I thought because as you said.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Can we get like a character name?
No, you can't get no character name. That's cheating.
No.
Was this produced?
Yes, it was.
Where?
At Mixed Blood Theater.
I don't even know.
In 2015.
Ooh. I wasn't even on this coast.
The playwright is very relevant to...
Damn.
Nope. That's give yourself damn, 30 more seconds.
Was it Katori Hall, though? Did Katori write it?
Okay. No. Mm-hmm.
Katori wrote this? Katori did write this.
I was about to say, it's not like something she wrote. She's, okay.
2015?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Katori Hall, what was this?
Why don't I know this? 2015. Oh my God.
Is it the one that takes place in the ghetto? Like the southern ghetto? What is this?
This ain't her new thing, Pussy Valley.
Hey!
Wait, you wanna know why?
I'm not.
Because.
No, it's not a TV show. It's based on a play.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Ha ha ha.
You did. You did that.
Thank you.
I was like, I remember this. I remember reading. Mm-hmm. Aside like this.
Yeah, that was the character Mercedes.
Well, I'm not mad about that.
Look at me, I did that. Y'all be knowing that.
Good for you, boo.
You did that.
Because I'm Southern bred. That's why. I've been knowing about my
Pussy
folks.
Valley by Katori Hall. It got its world premiere at the Mixed Blood Theater in 2015.
Got it.
That.
It was also there was also a workshop production done at the Brooklyn Academy.
That's right.
Bad, B-A-A-D. B-A-A-D,
not Bam?
Yeah, that's in the, it's in the Bronx. Sorry, I said Brooklyn. I meant Bronx.
Gotcha.
I'm dumb.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Did we do a listener letter last week?
No.
I don't think we did. I think we got one.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's
see. Is this right? Yeah, I think this is right. It said, what's good, y'all? This is from, let me make sure I can say the name. Hold on.
Before you put them out on this blast. Is,
right. We don't have a listening letter because I don't feel like looking for it.
Well,
if you want to.
But if you want to send it a letter and have it ignored.
No, it's not going to be ignored. You know, it's just got to be at the top of my inbox.
That's true.
So just get to the top of the inbox, resend it if you already sent it, and because we just getting back to this, you know, doing the thing. Yeah. So resend it to the top of the inbox, something new, something fresh. Email us at offbook@broadwayblack.com. We love to hear from you every week, even if you just want to send appreciation. I love it so much. We thank you. When I see y'all out, thank you. The love that y'all give me is phenomenal. I appreciate it. I'm always caught off guard, too, but I appreciate y'all so much. It is phenomenal. So we back in this place, but I think... Till next time. Thank y'all so much for joining me.
Hey. Of course.
Thanks for here.
It's been a wonderful
episode.
This is a good one.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
the judge is right.
The judge is really right,
you know,
here.
I got that monologue. I'm about to go get myself some fries, y'all, because I deserve.
Come on, fries.
You deserve a drink. Should we get a drink?
I think we should get a drink.
I got class. I can't drink. But I do want fries.
Oh, I thought she was being shade filled. I was like, class, bitch.
No, I do have class.
No, but I thought she meant like class A.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I did that. Wow. And I just now recognized that that's not what you meant.
Yeah. I was like, damn.
I was like, now listen.
You don't.
I'd have been like, but you know, it's okay.
See?
It's fine. Because I'm still like going to do CD with my fries.
It's okay.
It's because I'm light skinned.
It's because you light skinned.
It's different when you say certain things.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Like, and I also have pretty privilege.
It's very ski weak. It's very ski weak.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty. It's a pretty privilege.
It is.
That's right, baby. It's a pretty privilege. That's right.
And hair privilege, probably.
Well, I can't say nothing because.
Let's just get into all of his privileges, y'all.
I do have a lot of privileges.
It's a privilege that your hair grow faster than mine.
And skinny privilege.
Well,
skinny
there's privilege. That, Lord.
Because a bitch is snatched.
That's okay. That, I wish that listen, was my portion.
This is less about accountability and more about you just right. being like, I'm popping. Like,
right.
This is the most Leo shit I've ever seen.
Leo.
Where this nigga literally said, here are all of my privileges. Let me hold myself accountable while I go through them. Actually, I'm kind of cute.
Celebration.
Yes.
I mean, because ain't nobody else going to love them but me. Okay. Thank y'all so much. It's been a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We've hit our mark and we've done it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Ari Grooves.
Eddie.
Ian Field Stewart. They, them, she, her.
And Hazel Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Spence.
Spence with the Hazel Eyes.
Thanks. Thank y'all. Till next time. Deuces.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.